This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome back to another season of WHL This Week. Our first show of the season. It is opening weekend, and the radio show will get you set for another exciting year. Ahead, the longtime WHL Vice President of Hockey, Richard Dirksen. He'll stop by to discuss some new rules and modifications for the new season. That's off the hop here in a moment. Landon Dupont, the 15-year-old, granted exceptional status. He is ready to go in Everett with the Silvertips. Hey, Landon knows hockey, but we'll learn a little bit about Landon outside of the game as well. And the Medicine Hat Tigers have jumped out of the gates as the number one ranked team in the CHL. A powerhouse offensive club led by Gavin McKenna and a strong supporting cast. Head coach GM Willie Desjardins, he's our guest later in the show. First up, when it comes to the WHL, the players change, the coaches change, even the broadcasters change. But there's been one constant in the WHL office for over four decades. His name is Richard Dirksen, the vice president of hockey, who joins us here on WHL This Week. Rick, we do this each and every year. It's been a lot of years, and we appreciate you jumping on with us.
It is always my pleasure. Looking forward to the start of another season.
Yeah, and you know, we look at rule changes and different scenarios each and every year, but overall, there are some changes, but it's quite quiet. Maybe some subtle moves, but nothing really extravagant this year.
That's correct. We work, of course, very closely with the National Hockey League. They had a couple of rule changes that they've put in for this year that we have adopted as well. Fairly straightforward. The first one is basically for safety reasons, and fans will see this in a game from time to time where a player is anxious to get on the ice and he'll get up on the boards and either hang his feet over or he'll have his foot up on the dasher ready to go on the ice. So because of the skates, and we've got linesmen that skate back and forth, you could have body contact right there in that area. The new rule now will be the referees will give the coach of that team one warning, and then if it happens again during the game, bench minor will be assessed to that team. So the whole idea is the player, when he's coming on the ice, you know, and gets up on the boards, he's got to be coming right on. He can't sit there and have his skates exposed to the play.
That's one. There's also some different clarification rules when it comes onto the ice with the delay of game penalty here. What's the latest on that?
Again, it happened in the NHL a couple of times last year, and all they've done is they've added in, if a player from the defending zone kicks the puck out of play, the delay of game penalty will be assessed. So in the past, it's been if you bat it out, if you shoot it out, anything along that line. But there have been a couple where the player actually kicked the puck out, and so that is included in the interpretation now. That will also be a delay of game penalty.
That would be a rare situation, but possible that we could see something like that. There's also been some clarifications and some rule modifications when it comes to, you know, some of the you know, the stage fighting rule and some taunting situations. We don't see that very often, but let's talk about when players are in the penalty box, you know, going at it a little bit back and forth, and then they come out of the box here. What's changing there?
Again, we've just clarified that for our teams. So if two players are in the penalty box and they are jawing each other, and on occasion they'll come out of the penalty benches and get right into a fight, that will now be classified as a staged fight by the Western Hockey League, and those players will get majors for fighting plus automatic game misconducts.
One thing we also see sometimes is the benches and players on the ice getting at it a little bit back and forth, maybe after a goal, and there's been a bit of a rule modification there too.
Yeah, what we've done, we don't want the players to go overboard with taunting the other team, especially the opponent's bench. So sometimes it'll happen after a goal, sometimes it'll happen during the play. Generally, it's some kind of a physical gesture meant to intimidate or to entice the other team. So again, we only had eight misconducts called in 48 preseason games, so we don't think there's going to be very many of them. But again, it'll curb some of those players that like to put on a bit of an excessive show.
You know, in the NHL, Rick, whenever there's an e-bug situation with the emergency backup goaltender, it is always getting headlines. It can be uncomfortable, though, for the teams in that scenario here. And there's been a bit of a, I guess you'd call it a common sense rule change when it comes to a third goaltender during games.
Exactly. All we've done now is if a goaltender gets injured during the game, and if that team happens to have a third goaltender or an affiliate goaltender in the stands, it could be either at home or on the road, that team is permitted to have the third goaltender come down and get dressed and sit on the bench for the remainder of the game. That way, if something did happen to the other goaltender, there would be no delay for the game. The other goaltender would be ready to go. The only stipulation that comes in with that is the original injured goaltender, once he gets replaced, he cannot return to the game under any circumstances. So, again, it's not something you'll see very often, but it's common sense to have that third goaltender, if he is available, to come down bench and sit on the bench for the balance of the game.
All right, that does make sense for sure. The WHL likes to emulate the NHL rules. We haven't seen a lot of changes at the NHL level. Video replay has come a long way in the WHL with the cameras that are available. Status quo on the video replay side?
Yes, everything will be consistent, same as we did last year. We think we're in a pretty good position that way with the cameras that we do have. Obviously, we're not NHL quality and caliber, but for our league, we think we're in pretty good shape.
All right, well, we look forward to it as the puck drops. Rick, we always appreciate you stopping by to give us some new clarifications on some of the rules that fans can watch out for this season. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John, and have a great season.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
Hey, coming to a WHL rink near you, Landon DuPont of the Everett Silvertips. Granted exceptional status, the defenseman set to start his WHL career at 15. He sat down with a fun chat with voice of the Silvertips, Casey Bryant. Casey asking him the NHL player he looks up to the most, among other things.
No, I really like Quinn Hughes because he's obviously a D-man and Patrick Kane's not. So I like to compare myself to him, and he's got unreal edge work and he's super smart. So yeah, he's just really fun to watch.
Now, let's say that the Earth is being blown up tomorrow and you have one last meal. Build out your ultimate creation here. What are you having?
Oh, I don't even know. Something with Denny's. I love Denny's.
With Denny's?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just all you can eat from Denny's. That's what I'll say.
The simple pleasures.
Yeah,
I love
my breakfast.
I dig that. Okay. Yeah. Favorite pregame song? What gets you hyped up for a game?
Three Little Birds by Bob Marley.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Before a game, I just like to stay loose, and that just reminds me to stay loose and keep my cool. So
you're vibing.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the best song that you sing along to in the car?
This might be a bit embarrassing, but anything by Taylor Swift.
You gained a lot of fans by saying that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is there a go-to track, Cruel Summer? Are you belting that out in the car?
I like Love Story.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Favorite movie?
Knives Out, Glass Onion.
Good choice.
Yeah,
Good choice.
I love the murder mystery stuff, so.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Favorite TV show?
Young Sheldon.
Really?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Hey, I dig that. Yeah. I dig that. Well, Landon, last question for you. Is there anything that you would like to say directly to Silvertip fans that are really excited to see you out there on the ice?
It should be a fun year.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's first overall pick, Landon DuPont. Landon, welcome to Silvertip Country.
Thank you.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
With the WHL's opening weekend underway, a lot of the top players remain with their respective NHL teams. The WHL had five players taken in the first 17 selections of the 2024 NHL Entry Draft in Vegas, while several other drafted players are into NHL main camps as well. Seventh overall pick of the Ottawa Senators, defenseman Carter Yakimchuk will soak up his time with the NHL club.
Yeah, I think it was a great opportunity for me to be here and to learn a lot, and just all the information and just playing with, you know, a faster pace, and to bring that with me back to the Hinman and just kind of throughout the next couple weeks I can.
And players like Kelowna Rockets forward Andrew Crystal, the Washington Capitals' second-round pick in the 2022 draft, he's in D.C. looking to make an impact.
I mean, I think the goal is obviously to make the team. I think coming into camp, you know, you want to give your best foot forward and, you know, try to do your best. And, I mean, to have a lofty goal, obviously, it's going to be hard to do that. But, you know, it's what I'm trying to do. Coming in and knowing kind of everybody, all the staff, a bunch of the players, obviously some new faces, but knowing pretty much everyone, it helps a lot and, you know, gives me a lot of confidence to, you know, kind of be myself.
Several other WHL players will be trickling back to their respective club teams in the days and weeks ahead.
This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League.
The first CHL top 10 of the season is out, and three WHL clubs have made that list. Kelowna Rockets, they check in at number 10. The Prince George Cougars at number 7. And the Medicine Hat Tigers at number 1. We dialed up Medicine Hat for WHL This Week. One of the teams that are being talked about a lot to start the season, the Medicine Hat Tigers, who also have a bid in for the 2026 Memorial Cup. Their head coach and general manager, Willie Desjardins, here on WHL This Week. Willie, I know you probably don't like the attention as being a team that folks are talking about, but hard to deny that roster, that team you've put together here to start the season.
Hi, John. We are excited about our group. You know, I think we all know, though, it doesn't matter what you have. There's a lot of things that go into it before you kind of figure out where you're at. But I do like the group to start the year, and, you know, we'll just have to see how we progress.
You made a trade that raised eyebrows to start the season, and that was the acquisition of Ryder Ritchie from the Prince Albert Raiders. You give up a pretty good player in the deal for sure, but let's talk about what led to you going after Ryder Ritchie, a guy that is highly touted and an NHL-drafted player.
Yeah, that's always a problem. If you want something good, you got to give up something good. It usually doesn't work the other way around. So, Mercek first is, you know, is a great young player for us. You know, lots of talent. With Richie, you know, maybe a little bit of past history with McKenna as far as playing together. You know, I think Ryder has the ability to score pretty good. You know, he was ranked high in Central Scouting, dropped a little bit as the year went on. So we just think we might get a guy that, you know, with that chemistry and that, and we're always looking for scoring, that he might be a good fit for our team.
You know, I don't really know where the window ends with your hockey team, and that's a nice luxury to have, because we mentioned the high-end players, Gavin McKenna leading that way. It looks like you can throw out, you know, three really good lines, and then you have some good young 16-year-olds in there. The Ruck twins, Marcus and Liam, come in as highly touted here. I guess maybe as a coach you'd wish there was two pucks out there this season to get everybody some touches.
Yeah, it's going to be the challenge. Will just be, you know, ice time and you know, you guys getting to play different roles, because we are going to be fairly deep. And, you know, I think whenever you try to put together a good team, it's harder because, you know, players just don't get the ice time they want sometimes. So that'll be a challenge for us for sure as we go forward.
I look at your blue line, and you got a lot of players still on that roster, probably waiting to see who comes back. But you added a couple of Finnish defensemen in the import draft. I won't attempt to say their name today, but they're two NHL drafted players. And I think, you know, this was quite a coup to land two NHL drafted defensemen in your first two rounds of the CHL import draft. So your impressions on the two, Väisänen and Muhonen.
Good job. I think, we're excited about both. Really excited, you know. Mahonen's a big guy. You know, he's 6'4". You know, we wanted some size back on the back end, and he supplied that. You know, Betty was our second pick. You know, he's a high-end guy. He was kind of, no one was sure if he would come or not, but we were fortunate he decided to come. But he was a little bit of a gamble, but a really high-end guy as well.
You know, I look at your goaltending, and there isn't a big name that jumps out from, you know, a team that wants to contend this year and next year. You have Zach Sahara. He's your oldest goaltender here. How does the goaltending shake out at a training camp into the first weekend of the season?
Yeah, that's one place we got to see. We believed in our goaltender, so we wanted to give them the first chance this year to kind of show what they can do. you know, and I think it's still a little bit of a question. We finished that, you know, way at the end of the year. Sahara's been good, though. He, you know, he had good numbers last year. You know, he won a couple of, I don't know if it's Max tournaments or Circle K, so he's won. So, you know, he's there. McCallum's a younger, 18-year-old. And then we have Switzer at 17. So we kind of have three guys that we're looking at, and I guess time will tell who comes out of it.
I always find managing a junior hockey team is pretty fascinating of, you know, what you have for assets and draft picks and, you know, trying to get your age groups all settled. But there's a Memorial Cup bid that Medicine Hat is one of the favorites for, I would think, for 2026. That should be known sometime in December. Are you waiting for a decision on that before you sort of, you know, take your team in which direction as far as when to add and when to hold off?
Not really. It's interesting because the guys we added, you know, with Pickford and Wu and Richie are all 18-year-olds, so they're all back next year. So when we made our decision, we were kind of looking at both years, and we were more interested in guys maybe that were 18 rather than 19 just because we wanted to try to have a two-year window. So quite a bit of the things we've already done, we already looked at, and, hopefully we, hopefully guys play well and we don't have to add anymore.
Yeah, for sure. That's always would be great in a perfect world, for sure, here. But the enticement of potentially hosting the Memorial Cup, Willie, you've been to them as a coach, you know, with the Tigers, and, they're great events here. What would it mean to Medicine Hat to host this event in 2026?
Well, I think it'd be outstanding. The community's pretty excited about it, like really excited. Like they've been talking. I've heard talk for a year. You know, the city went in a big way, which shows they got some support that way too financially. I think it would be great. I just think that the city could use it. We could use it. You know, we got a good building. So, and I we got some pretty good players. So, you know, I hopefully we'll be successful in our bid. There's a lot of other really good franchises building, like outstanding bidding. They're outstanding as well. So, who knows how that goes. But I know it'd be exciting, and it would certainly be something I'd be excited about. You know, it's really hard to win this league. You can have a great team, and it doesn't mean you're going to win because there's always some great teams and different things go on. So it would be nice to get that bid and be able to host.
All right. Well, we'll see how it shakes down. Final question. Eastern Conference looks to be somewhat wide open. There's been a changing of the guard. Saskatoon and Moose Jaw were powerhouses last year, but obviously lose a lot in the cycle of junior hockey. When you look across the landscape, I don't need you to make any predictions, but where do you see some of the strengths in teams around the conference right now, Willie?
Honestly, I see them all being strong. That's just the way I always approach it. I don't think there's an easy night in our league. I think anybody can beat you on any given night. There's a lot of good coaches and a lot of teams are going to be prepared. So when I look at it, I look at every game is going to be a tough game and we're going to have to be at our best.
Well, appreciate the early season chat here on WHL this week, Willie. It'll be fun to follow your hockey club this year and next. So thanks for doing this and have a great season.
Okay, thanks, John.
Hey, that's the show. I want to say thanks to our guests, Richard Dirksen, Willie Desjardins, and big thanks to Casey in Everett as well. It is the WHL's opening weekend. It's great to be back. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.